proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have a really exciting teaching for you today. We're teaching on revelation of royalty. Now, you and I, because we have been born from above, that's what the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, we've been born again, born from above. We've been born the offspring of Almighty God. Do you get the revelation of that? We have actually been born of God. I mean, whatever God's got in Him, we've got in us. Praise the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? So He is the King of kings, and we are a new race of kings that have been born in the earth. Now, I'm not talking about your flesh, because you might be of one race or the other race, but anybody that's born again is of the same race spiritually. In other words, we are now a race of royalty. Well, how do you act like royalty? One of the things that a king does is a king decrees things. Get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. Ready to take some good notes now. Let's go into it. It's called Revelation of Royalty.
Kings decree. Other folk don't decree. Because decree means to legislate. Are you with me? And when a king decrees, he releases his royalty and royal authority by speaking. Ecclesiastes 8 and 4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. A king with a closed mouth is a weak king. With a king, it is his words that releases his power. Now remember what I'm saying now. I'm calling you kings because I'm talking about the position that you hold. Whether the king writes it or speaks it, it is a decree. And it is carried out or done for the king without delay. Every time. All he says is what he desires. He don't ask anybody, he decrees it. Say amen to this. So you and I are operating in the world as kings. And God expects us to decree a thing. And when we do speak it, the power is released. And God moves in through the kingdom and carry out what we decree. Now, we know that you can't have authority without being what? Under authority. We know that. Let me tell you what happened to me in Hawaii. My wife and I took a vacation to Hawaii. We went to the island of Maui. Maui has a history of being the island of kings. So we went there, and when we were gotten out of the airport and gotten a limo to be taken to the hotel, I noticed it was very dry. And so I didn't pay much attention to it. We kind of commented on it, but we went on to the hotel. Now, this is an island that's surrounded by water. So now, we got to the hotel, and I was watching the news, and they were talking about the local news, how there's almost a drought. And I said, wow. Now, this is where I'm coming on vacation here. I can't have no mess up in here. So I got up the next morning for early devotion. Somebody say early.
Early.
Early devotion. And when I did, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, why don't you decree rain? So I opened my mouth. And in Psalm 45, it says, the tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And what I told you before, as I was sharing with you about the power of our words, that everything in the universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your words. I said, I decree rain in this place. Not while I'm playing tennis. I sure did. Come on now. I mean, I'd be a fool if wanted to rain me out playing tennis. Are you following what I'm saying? And I said, but I decree rain and except when I'm to play tennis. About 2 hours after I finished my tennis game that morning, about 11 o'clock, it started to rain. My wife was going to go out and go walking along the beach and so forth. She said, well, it's raining. I said, oh, I thought you were going. She said, it's raining out there. I look, I said, man. She said, it's raining hard, too. I said, baby, now let me tell you what happened here. You know how you want to. Come on now. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You want to puff up just a little bit. Praise God. I said, I decreed rain this morning. And then about 4 or 5 o'clock, it stopped and it went on now. And then the next morning, I went to play. After that, rain came. It did that for about 4 to 5 days while I was there. Now, watch this. Now, when we were leaving, the limo picked us up. The guy was taking us back to the airport. He said, hey, you know, he said, you know, we're having almost kind of a drought here. They're starting to ration water to water your lawns and so forth. I said, whoa. And he said, it's a funny thing, though. It hadn't rained anywhere except over here where y'all stand. That's a fact. Ask my wife. I said, thou shalt decree a thing. That's the truth. I'm standing right up in this pulpit and telling you the truth. Now, this is something that God has given us, and we've got to come into it. But I'm finding that unless you get the image in you right, you can't operate at that level. You're royalty. And God wants you to get that image inside of you. You have something to say about what goes on in this earth, including the weather. Now, I know this is far out for some of y'all because you think this is impossible. Wait a minute. Nothing's impossible with God. I don't have to pull it off. I don't have to make it come to pass. He gave me the authority to decree it. Now, think about this. Here was a nation, and they were starving. And here was a man who came called a prophet. And here's what he said. Tomorrow, about this time, there's going to be an economic reversal that everybody in here is going to be rich. When he said that, one of the people came, very learned person, said, if God would open up heaven himself, no way that's going to happen. He said, you're going to see it, but you ain't going to eat it. Then here come four lepers who were sitting at the gate. They said, well, why are we going to sit here till we starve? If we stay here, we're going to starve to death. If we go with Israel, we're going to starve to death. Hey, let's get up here and go into the enemy's camp. They rose up at twilight, went to the enemy's camp. The enemy heard noises, thought God made them hear noises. Now they didn't hear the lepers. The leper wasn't making no noise. They were tiptoeing. He heard them make noise, and they thought all the armies had gotten together to come against him, and they got out of there. Panic-stricken, fear, terror hit them, and then next thing you know, they left the food, they left the clothing, they left the tents, they left the donkeys, they left the camels, they left the gold, they left the silver. Come on now. They left the mansions, they left the businesses, they left the airlines, they left the... There's going to be a reversal. Say amen to that. And I believe the time is just about coming to decree a thing. What happened? The economic condition of an entire nation changed based on a decree of a man's word. Economic condition of an entire nation of people changed in one day with a decree. See, when you can't go any further than the natural, step back. Decree that thing. You speak to it. Say amen to that. Now, at first, it's going to sound foolish. Why? Because your mind is trying to tell your spirit, don't do it. But this is not coming out of your mind. It's going to be coming out of your spirit. So what am I saying? Our time now is a time I believe God has placed like Esther. That he's placed us for in the earth for such a time as this right here. The enemy has transferred wealth long enough. But things gonna change. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, the last verse, last place, go to Psalm chapter 23, and let's just wrap it up there. Psalm 23. Are y'all still with me? Can you hold with me with this? Whew, glory to God. Speak to it. Come on, speak to that wallet. Speak to that bank account. If it don't work, you ain't lost nothing. All right, where did I tell you to turn? Psalm 23. All right, now words. Let me just go over this for you real quick now. The enemy has tried to make us believe that words that you speak don't matter. But the Bible says something about words. It says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Didn't it say that? Yes. And whatever you loose on earth is what? Loose in heaven. Let me turn to one more place before you put something right there. Just turn to Matthew chapter 12 real quick. Look at verse 36. But I say unto you that every what? Idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof what? In the day of judgment. Glory to God. And he said, for by thy words thou shalt be what? Justified, and by thy words, come on, thou shalt be condemned. Now, so we are going to have to be responsible for the words we speak, because God is telling us that based on our words, we either can have things or we will, glory to God, deny ourselves things. Are you with me? Now, here's the trick. Don't let the enemy get you into a situation and make you bow down to be politically correct. Because I want you to see this. He says, every idle word that men shall speak. Didn't he just say that? So it tells me that every word you say is going somewhere. Didn't he just say that? So I got to watch what I say, because what I say is going to affect the destiny of my life. And so I want to make sure that I'm saying things that are in line with God's word. And he said, whatever you bind on earth or is bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. This is a word planet. What I mean by that? I mean that this world is ruled by words. That's the revelation he does not want you to get. The enemy doesn't want you to get. Because the power of your word says that in the spirit realm, it takes every word you utter as a command or a mandate. And that's what this verse 36 is saying. Every idle word you speak, you're going to have to give account thereof, because the spirit world just took it as a command. Now, notice how in situations it'll try to get you to be politically correct. Here's the situation. Three Hebrews made a law that they bow down when they hear the music to this statue. Notice they wouldn't bow down. The king called them in. When the king called them in, he said, hey, now, I'm going to paraphrase now. You boys are doing pretty good up until now. But I got a fire out back for anybody who doesn't bow down when they hear this music. Now, notice what they said. They said, wait a minute. We hear what you're saying, King, and we understand your law. But the God that we serve, he shall deliver us. Notice, well, I want you to hear this. They did not try to be politically correct. They did not care that the king got offended with their answer. Because if they didn't line their speech up with deliverance, they were going to be condemned. See, everything about us should reflect the nature of God. Everything about us, your tongue should reflect the nature of God. Your believing should reflect the nature of God. Your attitude should reflect the nature of God. God got on me. He said, son, don't look at my people like they ain't made it yet. You look at them like I look at them. I look at them as the apple of my eye. I look at them as head and not tails. I look at them as lenders and not borrowers. I'm telling you, folks, we got to step back into God's divine nature and speak some things and watch God bring them to pass. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 39. I said, verse 1, I will take heed to my ways that I do what? Sin not with what? My tongue. I will keep my mouth, come on, with a bridle, keep going, while the wicked is before me. Here's what Job said in Job chapter 6. He said, Lord, teach me and I'll hold my tongue. Show me where I have missed it. Job, with his tongue, missed it, and the devil closed in on him, his family, his business, and everything. How about a man named Jonah? God told him to go down there and preach to these people. Jonah didn't halfway want to go. He jumps on a boat going the other way. But all of a sudden, the boat starts reeling and rocking. The people on the boat says, somebody on here is in disobedience. And they figured out it was Jonah and threw him overboard. overboard. And then a big fish swallowed him up and then brought Jonah in, and Jonah was in the fish. He was down there murmuring, complaining, and nothing happened. But all of a sudden, Job began to praise God. You see, when the fish done swallowed you up, when the devil thinks he shot his best shot, you get up in your and start praising God. And that fish spit him out. Can't nobody hold you when you just, when the devil has just shot his best shot, and you get up in the doctor's office and start walking around praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Divine nature. Sit down, let me finish this. I can see we got a bunch of believers up in here tonight, today. Oh, if it was easy, everybody be doing it. But I want you to start practicing it. Sometime in just in the middle of the day, you at home or something, get up off the couch and start praising God. Or sometime you in your car and you at the stoplight, just start praising God. Get ready, because the devil gonna try to shoot a shot sometime. And if he does, you got the ammunition to get him off your back. A praise, hallelujah. Oh, it does seem foolish, but it's God's way. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. Now look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. And I shall not what? I shall not want. And what people have done is they've taken the word want and they put it in the wrong place. Now, when the Bible says want, you have to define what want really is. And want, according to the Hebrew dictionary, means to have lack. It means to fail. It means to be bereaved. It means to decrease. It means to make lower, to want. Want means to fail. I want some money. Wrong place to use it. Got it? Now, wait a minute. Here's what the enemy tried to tell you. Oh, that doesn't matter. It's a culture you're in. Folks, I don't care whether it's culture, time, country, or anything else. Want means want. It means lack. It means fail. It means decrease. It's over 50 times in the Bible. Never once does want mean desire. So no wonder the enemy kept your stuff from you, because you want to be rich. Wrong word to use. He used your tongue to keep your inheritance from you. Say amen to this. Now, I'm telling you, it's in the Bible, and if you go into one of our modern dictionaries, here's what it says want means. It means to feel a need or to desire. Wrong. And that's when I found out what Fred Price said was true. A dictionary doesn't tell you what a word means, it tells you how a word is used. The Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got.
Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, the enemy has tried to make us think that words don't matter. Well, folks, let me tell you, the Bible says by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned or put in bondage. So the words do matter. And what we want to make sure is we're speaking right words, especially as God raises us up in power and authority. We got to make sure that we're speaking the right words in people's lives. God didn't send us here to curse people. He sent us here to bless people. Well, these and other teachings are on this particular series, Revelation of Royalty. It's talking about who you are and what you can do. And we all need to know that as believers, because God has sent us here not to take sides in this earth, but He sent us here to take over. And we're going to do it. And this is a word planet. It's ruled by words. So we're going to be learning how to use the words as a king and actually cause some things to come to pass in this earth that are virtually impossible otherwise. Well, this is Bill Winston saying that's all we have for this time. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Once you received Jesus as the Lord of your life, you were engrafted into God's royal family. You are a child of the King, and the authority of the kingdom is within you. Before you can exercise your kingship, you must have a revelation of your royalty.
If you know your royalty, and you know how a king or royalty is supposed to act, it will affect your behavior.
In this new series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn that you are a speaking spirit, and everything in the universe must adjust itself to accommodate the words you speak.
You got to believe that what you speak is going to come to pass. Say amen to that, and you will have what you say.
Order Revelation of Royalty Volume 2, There's a King in You, today, and Dr. Winston will explain why the church is designed to be the most powerful institution on this earth, why God created you to be a creative being, why you cannot rise any higher than your confession, and much more.
So now we're going to start talking to stuff. We're going to start talking out of our spirit, not out of our mind. We're going to get the word of God in here and speak it out. If He said, let the poor say I'm rich, start saying I'm rich.
To order your copy of Revelation of Royalty Volume 2, There's a King in You, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Make no mistake about it, there's a king in you. Order your copy of this powerful series, Revelation of Royalty, Volume 2, today. While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.bwm.org. Next week on The Believer's Walk of Faith.
What you got to do is get money off your mind, because God's got your money. He got your back. If you'll get gifting on your mind, He'll make your gift make room for you.